Amen. All right. It is good to be here this morning. Have your Bible turn to Luke chapter 15. Be looking there. I just have a thought on my heart. Kind of been thinking about this the last few days. Y'all pray for me. My mind's not working too good. I'm still a little weak. I've got my feet back under me just right yet, but we're getting there. But I thought about my mind. I see them advertising that stuff on television. Ralph, have you tried that yet? Has anybody in here tried that yet? That stuff they say is supposed to help you remember, you know, you thinking and stuff. Thurman, you... I think about getting me some of that, Brother Rose, see if it'll help me any. Oh, well, let's just forget about it if it's like that. If it's over a dollar and a half, I don't need it. You, Larry? Brother Rose said he had done checked on it. He's out of reason. We'll just stay like we are. I guess it'll be all right anyway. You ain't supposed to know much when you get old, are you? I want to read a few verses here. Everybody knows about them. It's a familiar place. I kind of got to think about it a little bit different this last few days. And we'll talk about it a little bit. If we run out of anything to talk about, we'll just quit. That'd be all right, won't it? Let me look here. Let's see. Let's start about... y'all know about this. Let's start about verse 11 in chapter 15 of Book of Luke. I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll just talk a little bit. In verse 11 he said, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country." That's mistake number one, wasn't it? "And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine, mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a certain citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he saw yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." I want us to go back up to verse 17 and look at this statement. "And when he came unto himself." And that's what I want to kind of think about. Y'all know I've been pretty sick here the last 5-6 weeks. I had a lot to think about, Rick, during that time. And I actually started looking at a few things different than I had before. I want to think about what makes us come to ourselves. You ever thought about that? Most of the time, because of the way we're made up and because we're human beings, because this old flesh that we still have. And I know, there's people that say, when you get saved, that flesh don't have a dominion over us anymore, and a lot of things like that. Most of the time, unscriptural. But I know what Paul said. He said, "For I know that is in me, that is in this flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And so, like it or not, that's the way we're made up. Even though we may be saved, and I know people look at this scripture here, and some people look at it as he wasn't saved and got saved, and some of them looked at it as he just backslid and got recapped or whatever. I think you probably make a good argument both ways. So not necessarily looking at it one way or the other, just as the way we are. Most of the time, sad to say, what makes us come to ourselves is some sort of tragedy. Something happening in our lives. Brother Brian, being sick, in your case, more than mine, but in both our cases. Maybe sickness of a child, or close relative, or loved one, or loss of everything, or, like Job. Could be a lot of different things, but most of the time, it takes some sort of tragedy in our lives. And that's the case with this young man here. That's what made him come to himself. Sad to say, most of the time, if we do come to ourselves, and there might be some people here this morning say, I'm already, like I ought to be. Well, thank the Lord for you. I hope they are. But it's just my opinion and thinking that most of us are not. A lot of that has to do with the time we live in. Society, the way society thinks and looks at things, and we have a tendency sometimes to gradually drift too far from the shore. I was stirred in my heart this past week, as most of us probably was, about this abortion thing. It started out, Brother Lowell, just a little bit, and like everything else always does, it just continues to escalate. Now they've got it where they're going to let the baby be born and keep it alive till they decide what they're going to do. That's the way it works. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. That ought to bother us. We've come to the point in the society we live in that our thinking and stand against a lot of things is a lot different than what it used to be. I had a verse of scripture on my mind, and I think it pretty well sums us up where we're at today in society. In Jeremiah 2:15, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." And I've mentioned this time past about cisterns, cistern water. I go back to my boyhood days, and I remember those old cisterns. Anybody in here besides me ever drunk cistern water? Larry said he had, Ralph, two or three of us, older ones. Brother Fane, he ain't never had to do nothing like that. And Rose, city boys. Well, Fane, let me tell you a little bit about cistern water since you don't know about it. I remember that. I remember they had men come around Brother Rose, and that was their trade, to repair cisterns. They had an old sort of a float type thing, and they'd make that mud up and take them a ladder and get down in that cistern and repair the walls in it. It cracked. Well, let me tell you something about cistern water that I remember. If you had a cistern and cistern water, it either run off of the house, into the gutters, into the cistern, or sometimes off the barn. into the gutters, into the cistern. Don't sound too bad till you really get to digging in a little bit. A lot of times, and I've seen it, you'd have an old dead bird laying in that gutter. Now think about that. That cistern water run down that gutter, down off that tin into the gutter and across that dead bird and right into the cistern. And of course you'd have animals up there using the bathroom on the tin, just all that stuff. A lot of different stuff. Of course that, first of all, wasn't too healthy, I don't guess, but you know what they'd do? They'd take some, ever so often, I don't remember how often it was, I was just a boy, but I remember them taking Brother Lowell Clorox and pouring in the cistern. I guess that killed the germs, is that right, Brother Lowell? But it didn't make it taste no better. Worst taste of stuff I ever tried to drink in my life. I guess what I'm trying to say is that living water, any way you cut it, is better than cistern water. He said again, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken the living water and hewed themselves out cisterns. That's kind of what we've done today. It's true then, it's true today. Mankind ain't never changed. I know people say, you know, we evolve and we get better all the time. Now, if anything, we're getting worse. But anything, I thought about another place. Familiar, and I'll read this. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, talking about the Laodicean church. He said, I know thy works, that there are neither cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Sippets don't sound familiar. Thou art rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. Now this fella here, he's doing all right. As long as the money lasted. Everything going pretty good, Brother Rick, till the money ran out and a famine came. Have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. We're talking about coming to ourselves. Understanding really where we're at on an individual basis. I thought about some other places in Scripture I want to look at. What makes us come to ourselves? A tragedy, probably most of the time. If you go back over in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, Isaiah come to himself, like I said, because of a tragedy. They had a king. His name is Uzziah. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. If you study this out and read this, everything was going good until King Uzziah died. And you'll find also that Isaiah, to start with, was on the outside looking in. When he got on the inside looking around, and it tells us that he did, things started to look different. He started looking from a physical side to the spiritual side. And when he did, when he saw it that way, he said in verse 3, or verse 5 I guess it is, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Then said I, thought about him, and then I thought about David. If you look over in Psalms 51, 52, I think it is. Psalms 51. Everything going pretty good for David for a while, wasn't it? Until tragedy came. As a result of his actions, might say. he started looking things, he come to himself, and he started looking things in a different way. This young man had left his father and went into the far country. He done good until verse 14. And when his problem started, is when a famine came. He said he had spent all. There arose a famine, mighty famine in the land, and it begun to be in want. I say at that point, when he begun to be in want, is when he started to come to himself. As long as everything going pretty good, everything is going pretty good for most of us today. I mean, you know, you look at it. And you know the sad thing about it, most of the time, when you're like we are, and we're hewing themselves out cisterns, so to speak, we look at everything from a physical point, Brother Lowell. Again, that's the way we're made up. We look at the physical blessings. We think, man, we're doing pretty good. I've got more today than I've ever had in my life, physically speaking. But spiritually speaking, I'm probably poorer than I've ever been. His trouble started when the famine came. But his trouble ended up being the best thing ever happened to him. Getting back to what I started to say there about Brother Brian and myself, and when you have a lot of time to think, whether it's sickness, in our case, sickness, my case, I got to looking at things different, Brother Brian. You know, when you get to where you can't hardly pick one foot up in front of the other, you start looking at things different. The physical things, which was so important before we got there, are not so important anymore. You start looking at the real blessings of life, the important things in life. That happened to David, happened to Isaiah, happened to this man. Like I said, I believe living water, when it boils right down to it, it's a lot better than cistern water. It tastes better, it's better for you, it's more healthier, and it gets you thinking, the thinking right. I thought about, I had a lot of time just to lay there about all I was able to do. Brian, I thought about just about everything that you could think about. Things that I've done I wish I could change, but you can't do it. Things that I hadn't done, I wish I could change, but you can't do it. And then I thought about where I was at right now. Things yet to come. And we can change it. We can change our outlook, our idea about it, what we think about it. We can get on the right side. We can get on the living water side. The most important side. The things that really matter in life. I've got to say this. And Murray, some of y'all, I know you think you'd never hear me say anything like this. But coming through what I've been in through, I appreciate my wife a whole lot more than I did before I went into that. Man, she took good care of me. I appreciate that. I even told her at one point, I said, babe, been doing a little thinking. Looks like it's just me and you. You know, that is the way it is. When you get up so old and years has gone by, and a lot of times you just let them go by. Don't think too much about them. Take one another for granted. We're working on them cisterns. I thought about David. I went back and read some of that. And I got to thinking, just general thinking. I really thought this morning as I was just laying and meditating on this and thinking on this. Boy, got a lot on my mind. Didn't write no notes out or nothing like that. I just thought, well, Lord, you just bring it to my mind as I need it, and that'll be all right. I went back, Larry, and I got to looking at David. and a lot of the things he had to say. And after he got his, you know, come to himself, I think. And like I said, tragedy most times the only thing will bring us to that place. And it ought not be that way. But that's the way it is. That's the way we're made. But you know, just this morning, if we could just take 30 minutes and say a few things maybe that would get us thinking on the right road, Brother Rick, and where we're really at. Being honest with ourselves more than anybody else. You know, I've thought a lot about this. I can lie to you and you can lie to me, but it ain't worth a dime for me to lie to myself. You just as well as be honest with yourself. And I thought about if we could just kind of come to our senses, get our thinking right. And like I said, I'm not saying everybody in here is not, but I know there's some in here like me that is. Not got their thinking right, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. If we could just dwell on the most important things in life. What's really important? You know, and I see these fellas a lot of times, you know, on TV. There's been a lot of talk here lately about millionaires and billionaires and taking all their money and everything like that. But I guess that's all right. That'd probably be okay to have that, Brother Thurman. But when it comes right down to the end of it, it don't matter. It's not worth anything. The only thing that's worth anything is how you spent your life and how you've looked at things in life in the right perspective. And how you feel about yourself. What's the most important things in life? The most important things ought to be in life for every one of us is, first of all, our relationship with the Lord. And then the next thing, the most important thing ought to be in our life is our family. And when you get that out of order and something else comes in there and takes that place, listen, you're not thinking right. You need to come to yourself. And we as God's people, we need to understand that there are things in our life that we just don't compromise with. And always understand and keep it in the back of our mind, living waters hits better than that old cistern water any day. So I looked at David here. And you all know the story about David. What he done, all the things he done, sinned against God in a lot of different ways. And he had to pay. But there come a time in David's life when he come to himself. One of the things I guess that caught my attention about David more than anything else was his repentance toward God. I looked at this and I looked at what repentance does. I'm talking about true, personal repentance. If you're here this morning, you've been saved by the grace of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. True, personal repentance. It's not like one of these casual prayers that a lot of people pray and think they're doing pretty good. And I think, like I said, you know what I'm talking about. And that was David's. David said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Personal repentance. Personal repentance. Personal repentance brings a cleansing. How many of us in here this morning has experienced a cleansing of the Lord? It's pretty good, ain't it, Brother Rose? And to recognize that Salvation belongs to the Lord, not to us. David saw that. It produces an effective witness. He realized that his salvation was a product of the salvation of the Lord. And then it produces a real sacrifice. Something you don't hear much about in the time we live in. I appreciate what we do here at the church. I appreciate the sacrifices. But let's don't get caught up in them and let it take away from our real personal sacrifices. It's something we don't know much about today. Then I'll tell you something else it produces. In that genuine repentance. It's my opinion, and myself included, we need a good old-fashioned sin-killing revival in our personal souls. What's that consist of? It consists of taking up the throw rugs that covers up our secret sins in our lives. Remove them, uncovering it. Like I said, we need to be honest with ourselves. That's where it starts at. Our secret sins. The ones that nobody else knows anything about. And listen, I'm not kidding you and you ain't kidding me. We've all got them. I think that's what it'll take for us to come to ourselves. The other thing I think this produces in the believer's life that you don't see much anymore is a burden. I went back this morning and read a place. It's one of my favorite places. When the Apostle Paul came to Athens and he looked over the city, the Bible said his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You have to really give that a lot of thought to get to understanding what he's saying. He looked over that city as one of God's men, and he saw sin rampant on every hand. When I look over Bloomingdale, that's what I see. When I look over Kingsport, I know some of you went on visitation yesterday, you know. But when I look over our nation, that's what I see. Am I burdened like I ought to be? Oh, I think about it. Brother Rose, I think about it. I wish it wasn't like it is. I wish things was different, Ralph, like it used to be. But it's not. And that don't excuse us just thinking that way. We ought to be burdened. I mean, really burdened. Now, when you go back and look at Isaiah, when Isaiah started seeing right, or when he came to himself, was when he got in the temple. That's a good place to be. And I know there's more to it than that, but that's, I guess, get the idea across. A good place for us is to go to the throne of grace. Let me say this, God's not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He don't change. And we know what's changed. We've changed. But he's not changed. And he tells us to come to the throne of grace, to find grace to help in the time of need. Nothing against, I don't have anything against, and I think it's a good thing, have altar prayer. Public prayer. That's good. Ought to be. The Bible teaches it. But I'm going to tell you the prayer that really counts is the personal prayer. When we get in the closet, Brother Brian, or we get down and out, we're down in Houston, don't look like there's much hope. When we get real with God, that's the prayer, in my opinion, that God really hears. Not saying he don't hear the others, but I believe that's when you touch the throne of grace. I believe we need more of that, don't you? I'm talking about not just saying words, not just repeating things over and over, but taking up the throw rugs and getting down where the rubber meets the road. Getting serious with God. When we do that, God will get serious with us. You know why? You read this book, he always did. And he's not changed. Brother Lowell, he's not changed. I know in the back of our mind, the way we're made up again, we have a tendency to think that God's changed some way. That maybe he looks at things a little bit different. We're living in modern times, last days, and we have a tendency sometimes to let our mind drift like that. And when we're not thinking right, we're more prone to even do that. But friend, God's not changed. He still means what he says what he means, operates the same way. We're all on the winning side. We're all on the right side if we've been born again. But we can do better than what we're doing. When he came to himself, he went to his father, said to his father, I have sinned against heaven. And in thy sight, and am no more worthy, be called a son. I will arise and go to my father's house. You know what he saw? He saw that living water was a whole lot better than that cistern water. And it really is. Unless you've been there like me and Ralph and a couple of others in here and drunk that cistern water. Boy, I tell you, if you've done that, you know it's a lot better. It ain't much, is it, Ralph? It wasn't too much down, it wasn't much down there in the, with them hogs either. He got to thinking back, Brian. I'm kind of starting to remember what it's like over at my father's house. When he come to himself. I think it behooves us all to just give a little bit of thought about coming to ourselves. Amen, Brother Lowell. Sometimes it takes being sick. Somebody else being sick. Something happening in our lives. Most of the time that's what it takes. But it don't have to be that way. Pray for the service. Pray for the preacher this morning. I hope we've said something. Maybe get our mind thinking a little bit in a direction maybe that it ought to. He is coming back. You mark it down. I don't know when.